soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on May 26, 2016. This is a word of severity, very severe. As I pondered the words of Jesus Christ with a very open heart, and as I share with you, we absolutely must hear the voice of the Lord clearly with a pure heart that only the Lord can give us, with ears that hear but understand, and eyes that see but perceive. There's a difference between religion and the assembly of Jesus Christ that is in the eternal kingdom of God. Where are you? What are you of? What do you want? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very severe word today. And I challenge you to test these things and to hear and search these things out, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that were taught personally by him, as we all should be, the apostles of the Lord. In Luke 19:41, it's recorded and following. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, at least in this day, your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you and surround you and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. That's the danger of not knowing the time. For it is high time that salvation is come. This is the day appointed, the time to prepare, the time to be a wise one, a virgin, a chaste virgin before the Lord, because it's the dark hour is approaching, the midnight hour is approaching. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the times that have been laid out for us to understand, so we know when these things all come to pass, the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's return is at hand. Be ready. Be diligent. Be vigilant. You have an adversary, and he's using people, and he's using religion to deceive you, to take you off the mark. You've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to come out of the world. You've got to be of the assembly of Jesus Christ and not of religion. The Lord was prophesying this, and he spoke of this in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Oh, how beautiful the temple was, but it was empty. And they had turned the Father's house into a den of thieves and robbers. This is a sad thing, a terrible thing, a thing that we wished it would not be, but it was. And the same would be true for any of us that are not careful to be watching and praying, looking unto the Lord, doing what he's called us to do in these last days. There's only so much time. There's only so much thing you can put your attention and focus upon. The very next thing that Jesus spoke of was this. In Luke 19:45, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it's written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. We find the same witness in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 8, Jesus came from the Mount of Olives into the temple, and all the people came to hear Jesus. And he sat down and was teaching them. Then came the religious leaders that run religious business, that use the things of God, that sell it, that create the system for the buyers to buy it. And it becomes corrupt, becomes empty, vain, dead. Dead religion that opposes the Lord. I've got to ask you something. What's the difference between saying, no, I won't serve you, Lord, and saying, oh, you'll serve the Lord, but never truly indeed doing the will of God? We're going to talk about the danger of not doing the will of God, what that is. This is a severe word of the Lord today. In Matthew 12, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were unhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did? And when he was hungered, that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbaths and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Jesus was telling them, there's one here standing in your midst, O religious guys, that's greater than the temple. Oh, they love the temple and the gold of the temple, and how beautiful the stones and the buildings are. And here's the very Son of God, the very house of God, the high priest, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all creation, the Lord of all kings of the earth, the head of the body of Christ, the very Word of God is speaking, coming at an appointed time, coming unto his own, and his own received them not. They were blind, and they were deaf. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. Do you see that? This is called judgment. This is called the ability to cognitively understand what is right and wrong, what is true, what is false, what is worldly, what is spiritual, what is of God, what is not of God, what is right and wrong. So simple. Comes from the Lord. Comes from having the eye of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. And this is why Jesus came. The testimony in John 9, I am come to give him that is blind sight, and those that see blindness. Because they trust that they see, but they're blind. They condemned the guiltless. Their judgment was wrong. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Notice the words. Notice the phraseology. The word synagogue is a place of worship. People met in this place. It's a system. It's an order. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Playing games with the Lord. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored complete, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. There's the witness again, how the religious system was blind, deaf, and in completely wrong judgment, rejected the Lord and did not realize the time of their visitation. and they held a council to destroy the Son of God who gave his life for the sins of the world. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he commanded them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. This is Isaiah chapter 42. Listen, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, until he send forth judgment unto the victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. We're talking about a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting that the very voice of the Father spoke from heaven, and there were eyewitnesses and those that heard that great voice, the excellent glory, that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And ladies and gentlemen, that is what this message is about. You better hear him that speaks from heaven, but he speaks in our heart. He sits in a throne in the heavens, but he's with us even now in spirit, if you abide in him. The Father, God Almighty, the Father, has commanded us to hear Jesus. Do what he says. Matthew 12:22, following. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and the people were amazed, and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then shall he spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Listen, we're listening to the very words of Jesus. This is his teaching. This is his instruction. This is his judgment. Don't gloss over the words of Jesus. O generation of vipers, he says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from you." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the assembly. Hear the voice of the Lord. There's one greater than the temple. There's one greater than the preaching of Jonah. and the people of Nineveh repented. But this people that Jesus is speaking to here condemned the Lord and sought to destroy him and always resisted him, twisting his words, being religious and full of hypocrisy and corruption. Jesus went on and said, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Matthew 12:45, ladies and gentlemen, the words of Jesus Christ to the people that were in Jerusalem, that rejected him, that were full of religiosity, that could quote Moses and the scriptures, but wouldn't do it and wouldn't listen, that didn't have the love of God or the fear of God. And they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the danger. That's the severity. Listen to this. You're held responsible. And that's what the Lord is saying. The works that Jesus did in that land, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And the works that were done in Capernaum, they would have remained. Tyre and Sidon, other places, you're held responsible for the works, for the words, for the grace, for the mercy, for the scripture, for the goodness of the Lord that he's done. Matthew 12:47, "Then one said unto him, Behold, your mother and your brethren stand outside, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who's my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. Listen, for whoever will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." The Lord is saying, do you do the will of the Father? Because there are many that will say unto the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day, when the door is shut and they stand outside in darkness knocking, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he says, "I do not know you. You are lawless. I don't know whence you are. I don't know where you come from. You're not of me. You work iniquity. You're like Cain that offers out of the earth, out of the natural man, out of unregenerated, out of your own imagination, things that are corrupted and base, and you do not do the will of the Father. You're not led by God. You're not been taught by God, and you did not walk with me in pleasingness. And there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth." In Matthew 13, Jesus taught the parable. Many parables he taught to the people. And he told them, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Why does it have weeds?" And he said unto them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said unto him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with the wheat them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." And he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. These are illustrations. This is dark speech, hidden from the wise and the prudent, but it's given understanding to the humble, the teachable, the children in spirit. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven that a woman took and hid, kryptos, in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill that which was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter that which was hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, all workers of iniquity, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ladies and gentlemen, can you perceive the time coming? The day will come at the last trump when the Lord comes back with the glory of his Father, with myriads of his angels and his saints to make war against the wicked. And these reapers, these angels, these creatures of the Lord will stand opposed to the wicked. And they'll suddenly realize, uh-oh. What a tragic, great mistake. And they'll be gathered and bundled to be burned. And they'll be in great fear. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And Jesus went on and said, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Ladies and gentlemen, how much do you pursue the kingdom of God that's eternal? Or do you just take it here and there or in certain days of the week? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels which come out and separate the evil from the righteous. A lot different judgment here, a lot different instruction, a lot different teaching than is taught in the religious churches, the church world, the church system, and you know it. "Have you understood all these things?" they said to him. "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe," that's a writer, "who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." We receive things that God has taught us. They are in our treasure. They're in our heart, kept. And we receive new things, and we have old things, and we treasure those things, and we do not give them to the dogs or the pigs to trample on and to turn around and tear us. But we share these things in the true assembly of the Lord, where two or more are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. It's the assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ground and pillar of truth. Consider the things you're hearing today, the things that quicken to your heart. Let him that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. We're starting to take heed to be very careful to use the words that were intended in the scriptures because they had a certain meaning. For example, the word we call, use the English word church, but we're finding that the word in the Greek text is ecclesia, and it means the called out people. There's a reason why this was inserted into the English translations, because it reflected the tradition of institutional religion. That was the same thing as the synagogues, with rulers of the synagogues known today as pastors, with titles, hirelings, hired hands, trained in schools, all in opposition to the teaching of Jesus Christ, and yet they're the leaders. There's no question, no denying, that these are blind guides that lead the blind. But when we truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him, to do His will from our heart, to be taught of the Lord, to be trained by the Lord, to be not gullible and simple, believing people by the words and fair speeches that they do, or the seeming good works that they do that are created to manipulate you or for effect, but to grow in the Lord in purity with the eye of the Lord, we are to be the assembly of Jesus Christ, which is the pillar and ground of truth. And this, in these last days, ladies and gentlemen, the severity is, we are to remove the stumbling blocks and the things that are contrary to godliness, contrary to the word of the Lord, contrary to the Spirit of God. Anything that is not true of the kingdom of God is to be removed. There's a difference between the holy and the profane. There's a difference between carnality and spirit. This is a work the Lord is doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The will of God. There's many things that are written about the will of God, but in Romans 12:2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do the will of God from your heart. Follow the Lord. Follow the voice of the Lord. Follow your conscience that's surrendered to the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 6:6. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. These are the things that are written about the will of God, because those that do the will of God are the ones that are the disciples of Jesus. Those that do the will of God are the ones that are inside when the door is shut. And there's many religious people, many, Jesus said, that are on the outside knocking with weeping and gnashing of teeth as they are thrown and thrust out into outer darkness. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that which with it he might smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This has been a production of RealtoReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.